coming up. Groove stages demonstration in Accra to pressure special prosecutor to resign from office.
So when your special prosecutor comes to lie to Ghanaians that he was attempting to arrest Oforiatta and yet he has no evidence of it.
We don't hate him, but we hate his works. It is a person who plays on our intelligence.
We have details, as the group says they'll face or force him to resign if he fails to do so after they present their petition to the president. Also this afternoon, board and key management staff of Minerals Income Investment Fund blew over 11 million cedis on foreign travels last year without the finance minister's approval.
What really went into it were a few things, that is the training, the conferences, because it's a mining fund. So we needed to go out to be able to get that visibility.
Well, we have details, as the fund paid over 2 million cedis as certain allowance in 2 years. Also this afternoon, nationwide shutdown of colleges of education begins to bite, a strike declared by the Colleges of Education Teachers Association of Ghana enters day one with immediate visible impact on campuses.
Since morning, we've not been to class.
We have just opened school and we want the lectures also to go on fluently.
Journey's checks reveal lecture halls locked, students stranded, and academic calendars already threatened in sports.
Sports Minister Kofi Adams calls for urgent action on a Sipon Sports Stadium as the facility has fallen into disrepair.
And ahead of the Christmas rush, the FDA is warning shoppers to be extra vigilant after a Journey's investigation uncovered a dangerous practice of traders tampering with expiry dates on consumables and selling them to unsuspecting customers.
Actually, the market space is a health place. You start from here, go to Abubroshi, those big market space. That's the business they do.
And less than 48 hours to the Republic Bank Love FM in Kumasi, and exhibitors are ready to serve your housing needs as DBS Industries Limited unveils exciting offers. These and more with me, Mamiusi Nyamiche Thompson. This is Joy News in... Now this afternoon, the office of the special prosecutor is under pressure as a group of Ghanaians march to demand the resignation of Kisei Jabing as special prosecutor on the entire institution be strapped. Now the group accuses him of failing to deliver on his mandate. The group insists that President Mahama must either terminate his appointment or dissolve the office entirely, claiming it is not serving the purpose for which it was established. Let's take you live now to the area where they are and speak to correspondent Fatao Bayaga. Fatao, what's the mood on the ground currently, and how large is the turnout for this protest calling for the removal of the special prosecutor?
I mean, the mood here is quite charged because these protesters say that they are calling for the removal of the special prosecutor. In fact, the numbers are not that huge. They would say they are in their 50s. About 50 individuals have come out today to protest, and they're saying that the office of the special prosecutor at the moment is not fit for purpose.
And you've been speaking to private legal practitioner Martin Pigwe and also the apostle leading this demonstration. What have they been saying?
So, Mami, for Martin Pigwe, he said that clearly, if you look at the way the special prosecutor is handling cases, particularly in relation to Ken Oforiatta, he's saying that the special prosecutor has not been truthful to the people of Ghana. In fact, he alleged that the SP connived with Ken Oforiatta before leaving the country, because he could have told the Ghanaian people at the time that Ken Oforiatta was leaving, because he said he went to some state institution, but he never had the collaboration or the necessary collaboration. But he thought that if he wanted the Ghanaian people to support this, he should have spoken to them through a press conference. You can take a listen to it.
He said that man is really playing with our mind.
Yes.
So we want the president, John Dramani Mahama.
Yes.
We don't hate him, but we hate his works. He is doing what we call duplication of duties. Yes. What he's doing, Yoko is doing the same thing.
Yes.
But our evening is out. important. You told Ghanaians that you saw Kenneth Forata going. Why didn't you host press conference and address to Ghanaians that this is the information that you have? For that matter, Ghanaians, rise and let's fight this cause. You didn't talk to anybody. When KSM, you realized that the fire is coming, then you came up by saying this thing. One way or that, you have to send resignation letter straight. You don't deceive. You are not fit for that job.
The letter of Oriata wrote to the outgoing chief staff and the incoming chief of staff. So how do you see such a letter? And then even to further add, he said he went to NIB to seek help and didn't get help. It has turned out that it is false. He didn't go to NIB. He said he went to immigration to seek help. He didn't get help. It has turned out it is false. He said he went to national security to seek help to arrest Oburiata. He didn't get help. It has turned out it is false. So when your special prosecutor comes to lie to Ghanaians that he was attempting to arrest Oburiata and yet he has no evidence of it and the state institutions are denying, that alone is sufficient for Isie Jabin to resign.
And we had the private legal practitioner, Martin Pipu, and also Apostle Labi. Well, Bayaga is still with me. Have there been any responses from the police or government on this?
Yes, Mami. So the group presented a petition to the presidency, in fact, telling them that they are expecting a response from the president in the next 2 months. So Shamima Muslim, the deputy spokesperson at the presidency, came out and received the petition and assured them that the president will receive it and they will hear from him. We can take a listen to it.
Citizens mobilized to exercise their constitutional rights to freedom of expression. His Excellency has assured all citizens, all manner of citizens, all people of various political persuasions that he is a president that believes in the rights of the citizens of Ghanaians, and he has assured that no citizen must feel fearful in their expression of their rights. And so we see your demonstration here today as a way of activating our constitution, which is a live document. So you are welcome, and we are happy to receive your petition this afternoon.
And you are there, Shamima Muslim, Deputy Presidential Spokesperson. Moving on, confidential documents intercepted by Joy News has revealed how the board and key management staff of the Mineral Income Investment Fund spent over 11 million cedis on foreign travels in 2024 without government approval. In 2020, the Finance Ministry issued a directive that no public service officer shall travel on business without prior approval. Such travel shall be subject to government approval through the chief of staff. However, management of MIF disregarded this administrative guideline. Joy News Quitinati has more in the following report.
According to the confidential report by the Ghana Audit Service, the board and key management of the Minerals Income Investment Fund spent more than 11 million cedis on foreign travel in 2024 without the required approvals. The report stated that the trips were undertaken without prior authorization from the chief of staff, the sector minister, or the chief director. The administrative guidelines for the implementation of foreign travel allowances issued by the Ministry of Finance in October 2020 stipulate that public servants of the rank of director and below must seek approval from the sector minister or, where appropriate, the chief director. However, this wasn't the case. According to the auditors, MIIF's disregard for this directive led to the infraction. In response to the audit findings, MIIF's head of human resource indicated that all travels requiring approval from the chief executive officer or chief director were duly cleared. He further explained that for international travel requests involving public servants above the director grade, the HR and administrative department acted on directives from the CEO's secretariat, adding that all request memos were available for verification. Former MIIF CEO Edward Nana Yao Cranton, however, stated that the chief of staff at the time had been informed of all the trips, but the auditors noted that no correspondence between MIIF and the chief of staff was provided to confirm this claim. Speaking before the Public Accounts Committee recently on high expenditure costs on conferences and related activities, acting MIIF CEO Justina Nelson explained that the expenditure was necessary to give the fund the visibility and capacity needed to operate its new office.
What really went into it were a few things, that is the training, the conferences, because it's a mining fund. So we needed to go out to be able to get that visibility and also woo people in and a few things as well.
Another audit of MIIF's financial statements and annual report revealed that the fund also spent over 2 million cedis on sitting allowances within 2 years. In 2024 alone, 1.2 million cedis was paid as sitting allowances, while almost 1 million cedis was paid in 2023. The board members during the last administration was 9. When Joy News contacted those cited in the audit, they declined to comment. This is Kwiti Natis' report.
To education now, the nationwide CTEC strike continues to intensify. As Joy News checks show, tutors have abandoned classrooms over government's failure to fully implement the 2023 conditions of service. At Commander Training College, students say they've been without tutors since Monday, a disruption they fear could affect their exams and academic calendar. The situation is similar in the Ashanti region, where students report feeling confused and idle, with no sign of when teachers welcome to class. We'll take you around the country shortly, but first, here's the president of the Trainee Teachers Association of Ghana, Nanja Divine, expressing frustration over how government's failure to honor the agreement is affecting teaching, learning, and the welfare of trainee teachers. He spoke on the Pulse on the Joy News channel.
This particular strike is declared even before the resuming date. But to allow students to travel all the way from their homes to their various campuses and only to be informed in the second week that the strike has been declared, it's so disturbing. And as we speak, like course material is given to any of the students. No course outline, whereby somebody can say or could say that maybe they can learn on their own. So it is very disturbing. We are worried. Even as we speak to, we have the level 400 who are also undertaking their mandatory STS, what we call micro teaching. And all those people, they are not staying or they are not even using the school facilities. They rented outside the schools and they are doing these micro teachings. And they are doing so many of the things on their own. And today only to be told that they will not be supervised and others. So it's very disturbing.
Well, let's get a feel of how this is biting across the country. My colleague Emmanuel Bright-Kwikwo joins me from the Ashanti region. Emmanuel, how's the strike impacting learning there?
In fact, Mamiyansi, I've been to two of the colleges of education here in the Ashanti region. I'm talking about Wesley College of Education and also St. Louis College of Education. In fact, when you go to these two schools, it's quite similar in terms of activities that are happening, and the students are not really in class. In fact, you go to a classroom and nobody's even around. It's just a desk that's sitting in the classroom. Most of the students are in the dormitory. Some of them are gallivanting around, not so much to do. In fact, St. Louis College of Education, they tell me that because this has been a recurrent situation, it's really impacting them, because in 2024, they had a similar situation which impacted their academics so much that they had to use 1 month to prepare for the examination. So the situation really here in the Ashanti region is dire, Mamiyansi.
Thank you very much, Emmanuel. Well, let's head to the central region. Abigail Issel is there with us. Now, Abigail, you've been speaking to some students. What have they been saying?
Right. The situation is no different at the Commander Training College. I have been interacting with some staff on the campus, and they tell me that although they are worried about the welfare of the students, if the situation is not rectified, they won't be coming back to the classrooms. They say that some of these allowances have been outstanding since 2021-2022 academic year. They also complain about allowances with books and research allowance as well. And they are saying some of their colleagues have also been sidelined, which has led them to lose some allowances due them. And they are saying that if government doesn't intervene and grant them these allowances, they won't be back in the classrooms.
We feel that at this time, we should be giving them some time, an amnesty or something, so that they'll be able to upgrade themselves and then catch up with whatever that we they are supposed to do. But to sideline them, downgrade them to that level, we feel that our stakeholders and our employer had not been fair to our colleagues. So based on this and other things, we feel that our strike will be indefinite unless those allowances are paid. The all-year-round compensation is paid. Our book and research allowance 2022-2023, 2024-2025 academic year is paid, and our colleagues are being seen to, so that we can go to class and lecture our incoming teachers peacefully.
To the Upper West Region now. Rafiq Salam, what more can you report?
I can tell you that the strike is really biting hard in the Upper West Region. Three colleges here: Nasser Jahan Ahmadiyya College of Education, the Tumu Training College of Education, and also the Makwai Training College of Education. Our information from the area is that the students are left on their own, and then the lecturers are not attending to them. And so even cases of them doing teaching practice, the teachers are not really supervising them. So the situation here is really biting.
Thank you very much, Rafiq Salam, in the Upper West Region. Now, government has signaled an end to the two-year wait for ratification of the Ewoyaa Lithium Project, assuring chiefs and residents that Parliament will approve the deal before the Christmas break. For 2 years, farmers, families and resettlement plans have been on hold while falling global lithium prices threaten the project's viability. Emmanuel Jivene reports on how the delay is choking the local economy and stalling 2,700 indirect jobs.
Every day at the Mankasim runabout, Abina Anan runs for survival. She chases cars with bags of Fanta Kinky, hoping someone inside will roll down a window with a few CDs to spare.
When the lithium project starts, we will all be more comfortable because we'll have jobs to do.
Abena is not searching for a job in the mine. She's searching for everything the mine brings with it. Workers, traffic, and demand. The lifeblood of informal businesses.
The direct benefit to someone like me who hawks in traffic is that some of the lithium project workers will need food and they will come and buy my Fanta Kinky. When that happens, my business will grow.
Well, government spokesperson Felix Kwachi Fosu told Evans Mensah that Parliament will rectify the deal by the end of 2025.
So every investor that is going to put some money into a project will look at how much would accrue. It is standard, normal, fair practice. Now, the price of lithium has fallen significantly over the period. So the same projections cannot hold. It affects the ability of the investors to raise the needed resources to be able to invest in the project. So if the investor is going to come, you definitely need to do something about the conditions. So we have simply said that instead of the 10% royalty, let's make it 5%, because the amount of money that will be coming in will not be enough to justify the investment. If you maintain it, and I think it is fair, it is proper, and it's the right thing to do.
You're listening to the Midday News on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll take a break. We'll return with sports. And also, ahead of the Christmas rush, the FDA is warning shoppers to be extra vigilant after a Joy News investigation uncovered a dangerous practice of traders tampering with expiry dates on consumables and selling them to unsuspecting customers.
After the market space, it's a hell place. So if you start from here, go to...
The Esipon Sports Stadium must be fully restored after touring the facility to assess its current condition. The 20,000 capacity stadium has not undergone any major renovation since it was built for the 2008 Africa Cup of Nations.
We have spent too long a time on this project. That, I am sure, will be because of what? Funding, cash flow issues. And that's why we've spent so long a time. And I'm not happy that, because the thing about sporting facility is that you hardly can you use it meaningfully when it's not completed. It has to be completed to be able to use it meaningfully. So if you do the roofing and you do the washrooms and you don't work on the pitch, you can't come and play any FIFA sanctioned football games here. At best, maybe you can use it, you deceive your students, your local thing, and then come and play on it because they cannot ask for anything. But where you are playing international competition that maybe CAF have to sanction, FIFA have to sanction, means that you cannot use it.
That's the Sports and Recreation Minister, Kofi Adams.
Thank you very much. And the New Patriotic Party is insisting the ruling by a Tamale High Court directing the Electoral Commission to conduct a new parliamentary election in Pandai in the next 30 days is legally flawed and must be overturned. The court annulled the 2024 parliamentary election results, citing serious irregularities in 41 polling stations. The petition was filed by the NDC candidate, Daniel Nsalala Wakpal, alleged inconsistencies in Form 8A or pink sheet from 41 out of 152 polling stations. Already, the MP Matthew Nyindam has filed notices of appeal and a stay of execution in an effort to stop the implementation of the court's order. Here's a report capturing the process.
The presiding judge, Justice Emmanuel Bruplange, ruled that widespread non-compliance with electoral regulations undermined the credibility of the process and directed the Electoral Commission to conduct a fresh poll. Nick Patwosamoa Ado, a member of the NDC's legal team, spoke after the ruling.
Our point was very simple. The failure to notify the petition of the relocation and redesignation of the collation center meant that clearly there was no way he could have participated in the collation and to be able to exercise his rights, which included serious irregularities which we brought to the court.
The NPP's lawyer, Sylvester Isan, said he was not surprised by the court's decision.
The only fight left for us is to follow the due process of the law, and that is by filing the notice of appeal, the motion for stay of execution. We have accepted the decision, we respect it, but we disagree.
NDC's Deputy Director of Elections, Rashid Tanko Computer, maintained that the Pandai election was skewed to favor the NPP.
They just organized themselves, ran to cook some results, and announced Nyindam as a parliamentary candidate elect. This is what they did. And that is why we made sure that we followed through the process and we have gotten favorable judgment.
Also speaking on the AM show on the Joy News channel, the NPP Director of Elections and Research, Evans Nimako, insists the party won the seat by a margin of nearly 4,000 votes, securing 53.47% of the total ballots cast. Well, away from that, a majority on the Lands Committee of Parliament have called for an amendment to the Minerals and Mining Act, Act 703, to allow government increase the proposed government royalty in the Ewoyaa lithium deal. The current royalty rate in the law allows government to change only 5% on the interest of mining companies. Reason, the Lands Ministry had to renegotiate the proposed 10% signed in the deal under the current government. Chairman of the Lands and Natural Resources Committee, Colin Zauda, has addressed a press conference on the matter a while ago.
Present administration, Honorable Ama Akufo-Addo, Minister for Lands and Natural Resources, has presented an agreement between the Republic of Ghana and Verari TPT Ghana Limited on lithium. In that agreement, government did not specify any percentage, but said that royalty will be paid as prescribed by law. What it means is that what is prescribed by law at the moment is 5%. Revenues generated from a 5% revenue, 5% royalty, and 10% royalty can never be the same. The preference is to have 10% or more. But the same condition that was raised in the previous regime arises. The law has to be amended.
You cannot.
Let's head to Parliament now. James Aveji is there for us. James, so why do they want this amendment? James, can you hear me? Unfortunately, we are unable to get James on the line. Moving on, the Food and Drugs Authority is urging the public to exercise extra caution when purchasing consumables as the Christmas season approaches. This follows a Joy News investigation that uncovered the dangerous practice of some traders altering expiry dates and selling such products on the market. More in the following report.
In the bustling shares of Accra's biggest market, Mokola, Legs, and Open Secret, one that poses a grave public health threat, some traders are altering expiry dates on consumable products before reselling them to the unsuspecting public. Their motive is simply